Hi, everybody. This is the Ramble Redhead Show, and today we have I keep saying the word special guest because, well, everybody's special. And today is we have a gentleman by the name of Mike, and he has a website called MikeyPod.com, and he's a fellow podcaster, and he's been doing his show for a while. Hey, Mike, how are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm very good. Why don't you tell our wonderful listeners how long you've been doing your podcast?
I started my podcast, I recorded the first one on July 4th of 2005.
Okay, and what made you decide to get into podcasting?
Actually, I've known Madge Weinstein for a while, several years from LiveJournal, and when she started doing her podcast, she started urging me to, because at the time there weren't very many gay ones out there, and she was just about to start Q Potter. So, and I thought it would be fun. So that's how I started.
Well, cool. Well, what I wanted to do today is obviously, as a fellow gay podcaster, that one of the things that I wanted to do was to do a series of interviews with different people talking about a certain movie called Brokeback Mountain and get your points and viewpoints on the movie and what you thought and what you liked, what you didn't like. And I did a show already with a gay couple, Mike and Craig, and I got their point. But we had talked prior to this interview today and talked about it, and you felt really adamant about the movie as well. And I was just wondering, and I'd like to thank you for being on the show today. And what I was wondering is, when you first heard about the movie, you know, I was just curious, what had you heard about the movie as far as prior to seeing it? Did you hear a lot of hype about it, or did you read about it, or?
I think the first time I heard about it, one of my listeners had sent me a voicemail about, I was talking about the film A History of Violence, about how much I didn't like it, and this guy, gosh, I can't even remember his name, and I haven't heard from him since, but excuse me. He sent me a voicemail talking about how much he did like that movie and that he had just seen Brokeback Mountain at the Toronto Film Festival. And this was it was before I had heard any of the hype about the movie yet, but that doesn't really mean anything because I can be kind of clueless a lot of the time. So that was when I first heard about it, and it sounded good, and just the fact that Jake Gyllenhaal and Heath Ledger were playing gay cowboys was all I needed to hear. Because I think I'd also talked about seeing Donnie Darko in a show right around that same time.
Right.
And talked about how hot I thought Jake Gyllenhaal was.
Okay.
So I think that's why he mentioned it as well.
Okay. Well, you know, I think any gay man who has any taste would find Jake to be very handsome, and Heath ain't nothing to sneeze at either. So, so basically, that was the, you know, attraction to the movie, obviously, and, you know, just the concept, the story, and things like that. So, so when you actually got to see the movie, you said it was about two weeks after it came out.
Yeah, I think so.
And you said it was a packed theater, right?
Yeah, it was totally packed. But it was only showing at one theater in Houston. And it's at a small independent theater, and it's right in, like, the gay sort of area of town.
Okay.
So it was packed. There was a line all the way around the building, and I saw it with my friend Tiffany.
Okay. And as far as the actual type of people, would you say there were more, you know, gay couples or more straight couples, you know, younger, older? Or
I would say it was the age range was actually kind of, oh, like 40s to 50s, it seemed like was really what I saw. It was mostly like 40 to 50-year-olds, it seemed like. Mm-hmm. And it was almost all gay people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. And so, you know, as the movie began then for you, what was your first reaction to it as it began and started getting into more in-depth into the story?
I really enjoyed the story. I thought that it I thought that they did a really nice job of sort of getting us to know the characters and from the beginning and really see the kind of, the humanness in each of them.
Okay, and if you were to relate to a particular character, is there anyone that would stand out for you?
I really found myself relating to Heath Ledger's character the most.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, just in that way of, because he seemed to be, I hate to say it about myself, but he seemed to be the most repressed emotionally. And as far as, like, my willingness to be in relationships and open myself up to people,
right.
At least recently, that is sort of what I've been struggling with.
Mm-hmm. And so, obviously, seeing that on the screen maybe touched home for you then?
Yeah, it really did, especially toward the end. And I guess I don't want to really give away the ending, but just sort of seeing how much there is to lose by being unwilling to take emotional risks.
Right.
Really struck a chord with me.
Right. Well, you know, I think you can be free to talk about the movie and the ending if you want, because I think if they hadn't seen it by now, they probably aren't. But the thing is, again, that's why I'm doing this series of shows, is that I wanted to try to focus, because I really wanted to do this when the movie was still in the theater, but due to time and all that stuff, it wasn't going to happen. You know, because, again, one of the things that I think that a lot of younger gays who watched the movie that may have not liked it, because I read a lot of things on Yahoo and a lot of other sites about the film, and a lot of younger people didn't like it for a variety of reasons. And I think one of the things that a lot of these gay people, especially younger gay people, may have forgotten is that this movie was placed during the time of the 60s and the 70s. And so... you know, obviously, you know, gays were not looked highly upon at that time, and, you know, in some cases they're really not looked highly upon today, but the thing is that a lot of people forget when they watch this movie that it was really dealt in the 60s, and see, obviously, it was a much different time, especially in the area that they were. It's very remote. It's not like it's a big city like New York or San Francisco or Chicago, who have their, you know, a higher gay population, so... I was just wondering, you know, about the, you know, about them getting married and having children and still continuing their love, you know, over those years. I was just wondering, what did you think of that part of it?
In what way? Like, did I...
Well, I mean, as far as the fact that they had to hide who they're really, what they truly were and who they were as a person. I mean, they had to hide that fact that they were gay or they loved, you know, another man. And then they had to be married and had the children, and you know, I mean, do you feel that was right, or do you feel that you know, they should have
I think it's accurate. I mean, I think that there are probably a lot of people who are still doing that we don't even, you know, that we obviously don't know about, because they're living, you know, these lives as heterosexuals because they don't feel like there's any, you know, option. I think it'd be unrealistic to think that. That doesn't happen anymore. Even as far as we've come, in just my lifetime, I think that there's still a lot of people who don't feel okay coming out.
Well, no, I'm not saying that I don't think it doesn't happen anymore. I'm just saying that you feel that, that, I mean, there's a lot of people that feel that, hey, you just should be honest, you should be open, you should just be who you are as a person. And,
right.
You know, and... You know, because I know several people. I mean, one of the gentlemen I interviewed for my show is Tim, who is part of the Call to Duty tour. He felt the very same way. And he, you know, he had been dating this high school sweetheart. But he always had these hidden feelings to be with men. And then what happened was he ended up marrying his wife. And but the thing that was weird is even before they got married, his wife kept saying, "Are you sure you really want to get married? You know, is there something going on that I don't know about?" And he was 19 years old, and you know, and then afterwards, after about a year of marriage, but see, the part of the problem too is that he was in the military, and he did get shipped to overseas, and so he was gone for like 6-7 months, and so obviously that could not have helped the relationship either. So I don't think it was the sole reason they broke up, but then. The part of it was that he felt he had to be honest, he had to be open, and he had to be, had to come, you know, come out. And, but I mean, it really depends on the area where you're from, you know, the family, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into it. Okay, well, getting back to the movie then, how did you feel about Jake's character as far as, you know, what he was doing and, with his relationships and things?
I appreciated what he was doing as well. Just that of the two of them, he was the most willing to sort of take some chances and try to follow his heart.
Right. Yeah, that, you know, that was, I mean, that was just amazing. And see, the other thing I thought was amazing about the movie is how he, you know, again, during that time, he was very open, in a way, to his parents, because he kept telling them, oh, well, I'm going to have my friend, and we're going to come here, and we'll help take care of the, you know, the property here, and we're going to, you know, help make this really work, you know.
Right.
And then, I guess then the part that really got to me was that, you know, of course, Jake's character, or Heath's character, you know, he was always, like I said, very reserved. You know, he felt, like you said, repressed, and he felt really that he had to hide his emotions about his feelings because of, I think, the way he was raised with his father, and, you know, and what his father had did in that one crucial scene where he's talking about the gay couple and what had happened to them, and you know, that was, I felt that was really powerful, you know. And then the other part that really got to me too was when, after they had that first initial time together, and then they were leaving, they were going their separate ways before Heath got married, and there's that scene where he's walking and he's standing between the buildings and he's getting very emotional and very upset. And I just thought that was so real and so honest, and, you know, and I just thought that Heath's character, or Heath as an actor, was just amazing because he was able to, you know, bring that out like that. And, you know, I just thought it was amazing. And see, one of the things I, you know, had mentioned on the previous show, that one of the things that I felt kind of was a negative for me was the way that they edited the movie, and how they, I know they had to go through, you know, like 20 years in a very short time, but, you know, just the way that they did it, it was like 1 minute Jake is meeting the woman, and then the next second she's in bed holding the baby. And, you know, I felt it could have been better if they had a little note like 9 months later or a year later or
right.
Because I felt kind of like it was, you know, I was like kind of like it didn't really flow that well.
Yeah.
Did you get that impression at all?
I didn't, but also, like, unless the movie is really bad, I'm generally willing to just, like, go along for the ride. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And just, like, kind of accept things like that. Maybe it's naivety, but a lot of times I'm just like, okay, I'm going to see this. I guess I overlook a lot of things like that.
Okay. Other than, like, this, you know, obviously the story, the acting, what, is there anything in particular that really stood out for you as far as, wow, that's really powerful, that really got to me?
I think just watching the story sort of, you know, I think what it did for me was remind me of sort of what I've been through as a gay man, and sort of figuring out ways of coming of age, and, you know, and because we don't necessarily have, we don't really have necessarily big role models to sort of, like, our parents generally are heterosexual, and most of the people we see on TV and movies are, so we don't really see what it's like to have a gay relationship. You know, so seeing this movie sort of got me back sort of in touch with that, you know, and watching them sort of struggle through what the hell do we do with this thing that is obviously going on between us, but is completely not okay with the rest of society.
Mm-hmm.
It just sort of reminded me, seeing that movie made it harder for me to sort of ignore the fact that there really is still a struggle going on with myself and with, like, other gay people that is trying to be who we are.
Right.
It's not as, like, because in my life, I'm out to pretty much everyone that matters. I'm a teacher, so I don't necessarily come out to little kids or their parents.
Right.
But everyone, like, the faculty and staff at the school where I work know. So I don't really encounter as much of a struggle as I might have, like, 8 years ago when I started teaching there, when it was that time period of who do I tell and is it going to be okay with them? You know, like, being out right now is really comfortable with me, but seeing that movie helped to remind me that it's not that way for everyone.
Right. You know, I have to be honest, you know, when I was growing up, I had a lot of issues, I had a lot of struggles, and I was, you know, I think every member of the GLBT community does, and I think it just depends on, you know, your inner self and how you feel about yourself, and then also your family. I mean, I have a friend of mine that's, you know, he's 35 years old, he's gay, but he doesn't tell anybody. And he's like, oh, they're all going to freak out. And I'm like, well, I said, well, why do you want to live a lie like that where you are denying who you are as a person? Because, you know, and then he tells me, oh, I just meet people online and, you know, and it's like a one-night stand type thing. And he says, but I'm not very happy about it. But then he feels that, you know, having a boyfriend or having a long-term relationship is unobtainable. And it just really, you know, it makes me sad that, you know, and I said, well, and I don't want you to wait 20 years from now and then you're going to be going, oh, I wish I coulda, woulda, shoulda, you know, and it just breaks my heart that, you know, you hear somebody like that. And then, I don't know, it's just really, but I understand it, but I just find it hard to want to live like that. And I guess with, you know, my life in the last few years and being in a relationship and then having it end and then having to try to find, you know, somebody new, that, you know, and then I guess one of the things that really give me hope is that, and if for the listeners who maybe are new to the show, that I would really recommend that you listen to the Dawn and Mary interview, or to listen to the interview with Tim and Jean, or to listen to the interview with John, where these people all had very long-term relationships from 5 years to up to 34 years with their partners. And I guess what made me happy about it is that it gave me hope that it can happen. And that, you know, that if you really go out of your shell and you start meeting people, and that you can have a loving relationship. And you just got to keep looking. And, you know, that's what gave me hope. And so as I'm talking to new people, and I'm hoping that one day I can have that again. Because once you have one like that, it's very hard to be single again, and then having to, you know, accept it. And I guess that's kind of relates to the movie, is that with Jake and with Heath's character, is that they had a long-term relationship, and then the way that it ended was as just as abrupt, if I think, if a long-term couple had broken up, no matter what the reason. And, you know, and then just having to deal with, you know, the memories of what you had and what you gave up. And I mean, I think it's really amazing. And that's what I loved about the movie. And I loved the part where, you know, Jake had kept both of those shirts, and then Heath ended up getting them at the end. And I just thought that was so touching. And I think a lot of people might have, you know, maybe not got that. Did you get that right away? Did you understand how Heath had, you know, felt when he saw that, and the...
Yeah, I think what I connected most with there was sort of that sort of sense of regret.
Mm-hmm.
that I would think he would have there, that he didn't... I mean, that now, like, you know, when... In experiences in my life when I know that I'm not allowing myself to have what I have because that what I want because of what other people or outside forces might think.
Right.
And just sort of that moment of, to me, like that moment with him, like when he found the two shirts, was just like, I have a hard time putting this into words, I guess. Just this moment of total, like, what else can you feel there but regret for not following your heart? You know what I mean? When right then it's like too late and there's no chance of ever getting what you might have wanted.
Right. Yeah. And you know, and that's what I think a lot of people have struggled to do. And the thing is that, because I have a very good friend of mine that is going through an issue right now too, and he's dealing with like a family loss, and he's dealing with, you know, because what he did is he spent a lot of time with that person helping to take care of them. And because of that, he's getting some repercussions from doing that. And so he's, you know, he's almost 40 years old, and he's like, he feels in a way that he might have wasted his time doing something honorable by being with that, you know, that family member and helping take care of them. But now, you know, like financially and maybe emotionally and maybe some other ways, that he feels that he kind of wishes that he hadn't. It's kind of like being closeted for all your life, and then all of a sudden 20 years later you come out. And then you think about, oh, wow, you know, imagine my life, what it would have been like if I had been out then. And, you know, and now he's trying to deal with that. And I keep telling him, I said, you got to stop beating yourself up for the coulda, woulda, shouldas. You need to, you know, look at your future and what do you want to do, and how do you see yourself, and, you know, what you want to accomplish in life. Because if you spend all your time looking back, you're not going to have much of a future. And I guess that's one of the things that I've been trying to, you know, get him to understand. And, you know, and I don't know, it's just amazing. And, you know, but everybody's journey is their own journey, and they have to make up their mind, and they have to act on it. It's kind of like I talked about in another show about how if you want to lose weight, if you want to go to college, if you want to, you know, do a podcast, if you want to, I mean, it could be something as simple as reading a book, you know, and what you have to do is set realistic goals on what you're going to do to achieve that. And, you know, and there's a lot of people that go, oh, yeah, I could do that, but, you know, and then they always have their excuses. So, I don't know, I just think it's important that we all need to, you know, just really look at ourselves and what we can do to improve upon. And, I mean, you know, like right now, I mean, I feel that you have to, you know, get yourself out there if you want to meet somebody. And then, but the thing is, you got to be willing to take the risk, you know, that goes along with it. You have to be willing to take that chance. Well, okay, we really hadn't talked about, but like the female characters. What did you feel about the women in the movie?
There were women in the movie? No, just kidding. It was nice to have that sort of point of view too.
Mm-hmm.
Am I remembering correctly? It's been a while since I've seen it, but Will's not Will. What's the Jake Gyllenhaal's character? What was his name? Do you remember?
Jack.
Yeah. Jack's wife, toward the end, it was interesting that she really, it almost seemed like he was a little bit of a kind of a trophy husband for her.
Right.
She didn't really care so much about what he was up to.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, the one thing I found out, and I haven't read the story yet either, and I know some people who had already responded to my previous show, you know, said, you know, made some comments, well, hey, it's a short story, they only had a certain amount of time, they only had a certain things to do. And see, one of the things that I had heard was that with Jake's wife, is that the reason why she was so hot to trot after Jake was because that she was already pregnant. And that,
oh, yeah.
And that's why she wanted to find a husband, so to make it look more legit, I guess. And, you know, but again, in the movie, they don't show that. They just show that, hey, they meet, you know, at the rodeo, and then they meet that night at the bar, and then the next scene, she's having the baby. So, I mean, it really wasn't explained in the film, but I might have to go back and read the story, but I guess in the story, there was like a hint of that she was trying to cover up for that. What about, because they really didn't really spend a lot of time on her, per se. They spent a lot more on Michelle Williams' character, you know, Heath's wife.
Yeah.
And real life wife. And I was just wondering, what did you think about that part, or her character?
I thought it was interesting the way she knew for so long before she said anything about the relationship, and just the way that she had sort of, like, tested it out to see what was going on.
Yeah,
but she's the one that saw them making out in the stairway, right?
Right.
Okay.
Now, I mean, see, that's one thing that I thought was really surprising, because, you know, Heath, because the thing I thought, because like you mentioned earlier about how Heath was always so repressed in his feelings, but then when he found out that Jack's character, or Jack, was going to come see him, that he was just like a little schoolboy. And he was like, oh boy, he's coming, you know. And then he was like, then he kept drinking and drinking. And he's like, oh God, maybe he's not coming. And then you started to get that sense of, oh my God, he's not coming, you know, what am I going to do? And but then when he did, and he saw him, he was just overwhelmed with emotion, you know, and obviously with love or lust. And then he ran out and he did what he did. And the thing that I thought was a little shocking was that he, you know, he was so overwhelmed with emotion that he didn't, you know, think about her or the kids, you know, potentially coming out and catching him, you know. And so then when she did, and then the way she acted, and she was just totally stunned, and then when she's holding the baby, and then he runs in, he says, okay, we're going to go, bye. And then she's just standing there left to cry. I mean, it was just, that to me was really heartbreaking. And
yeah.
I mean, that, I really think that between the characters, I think Heath and I think Michelle Williams should have won the Oscar, because just from you know, with a couple scenes we already talked about, but specifically for that one for her, because I just thought that it was just amazing. And then, like you said, but then the thing I found amazing is that after they already broke up, and they having like the holiday together, and you know that her character had already had a new—I don't know if they were married at the time or a new boyfriend—but they had him over for dinner, and I was just wondering why, at that time, did she finally confront him?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I just thought that was amazing. I mean, if you had been married to someone and then you found out that they were doing what they were doing, don't you think you would have asked about it prior to the divorce?
Yeah, maybe she was just, I don't know, in denial. Who knows? Yeah.
Do you have any other comments or thoughts about the movie? I mean, the story, the ending or the anything at all?
I'm trying to think of one. I feel like I liked it. I think it was I thought it was really well done, and a lot of the sort of hubbub that was going on about whether or not it was played by gay actors and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
To me, just the fact that it was such an excellent film sort of overshadowed all that.
Mm-hmm.
So
at first you were upset that why didn't they just use gay actors?
Oh, no, not at all.
Oh, okay.
I just have heard that sort of dialogue going on around.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think, you know, it's kind of like when Philadelphia came out, there was a big stink about that, and there was a lot of gay people that I knew that refused to see it because they could have had a gay actor play that part. You know, but I don't know. I think that, you know, as long as the movie is good, as long as the portrayal is good, you know, I don't really care who plays it as long as it's a good movie. And but I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I just thought the movie was overall. I thought it was very, very good. I thought the hidden story of the love and the anguish and repression and I thought it was very, very good. And but I also really ached really bad for the characters and, you know, like with Heath and his wife and Jake and his wife to a degree. And then the part that got me the most, too, is when they had their, like, final discussion when Jake and Heath are talking, and he's like, when they're talking about getting together again, and then he says, well, it's not going to be for months before I get back. And then when Heath is yelling at Jake for going to Mexico to have sex with, strangers, and he says, I'm going to kill you for that, and then Jake, you know, has that excellent line where he's talking about, you know, well, you know, how can you do what you do and say what you say and redirect, you know, when I have the urge, you know, to be with a man. And I just thought that was so powerful and it really represents, you know, a lot of gay people who just simply deny who they are and you know, then the only way they act upon it is by, you know, doing anonymous sex like that. And see, one of the other things that I thought was amazing was about the movie is that Jake's character and how he supposedly had died. And see, there was a lot of people that had read, you know, was that just his character's perception of what happened? Or did it really happen? Did he really get murdered like that? But a lot of people, you know, had said that, you know, maybe it actually was the blown tire, and it was just that in Heath's mind, you know, of what had happened to him as a child and his self-hatred in a way that made it, you know, had to be the worst scenario. Because I had actually had a listener of my program had sent me an email. He said, regarding the reader's comment on Jake's death, is, if it was though bashing as Ennis sees in his mind, it would be very believable for the times. However, we don't know how Jack died. He may have really died as a result of a blown tire. But is Heath's character agony that Jack was killed the way that the old cowboy had been, to me that makes Jack's death even more devastating. And, you know, and I just thought that was, you know, really amazing, amazing point for him to point out. and you know, and how we look at things and how things happened, and you know, and then we have the Matthew Shepherds, we have the army guy that was thought to be gay who gets beaten, you know, and then we have, you know, all these things happening today, you know, are things really any that better, you know, that much better? I just said, do you feel that things are finally getting better to that, where we're not having as much, you know, violence like that?
Well, yeah, I think things are getting better, but of course there's lots of room for things to continue to get better.
Yeah. All right, well, I think, do you have any other closing comments at all, Mr. Mike?
No, just thanks for letting me come on your show.
Oh, no problem. And again, your website is MikeyPod.com, and your show is called Mikey Pod. And so what I would like to do is encourage all my listeners to check his website out, and I will have a link on my site as well once we post this. And he has a really good show. And you can you give us a brief synopsis of what kind of topics you talk about?
I kind of run the gamut. I do. Lately, I've been doing a lot of sort of coverage of what's going on in the peace movement.
Okay.
But I also play a fair amount of independent music, and I think that. And I interview musicians, and what else, I've done some death penalty related things. So I kind of, it's a little eclectic, I guess. Some would say eclectic. Some would say unfocused. But it sort of just follows my interests.
Okay. Well, good.
And I have fun. Yeah.
Well, great. Well, yeah, you do a great job, and you've been doing a lot of other different projects. It seems like every time I go to your site or read QPod or things like that, it's like you're always doing something else, and I'm like, how does he do all this, you know? But
it's called avoiding my real job.
Well, that's good. Okay, well, I appreciate being on the show, and what I'd like to do is thank the listeners for being part of the show, and you can also go to my website, which is rambleredhead.blogspot.com. You can also email me at rambleredhead@gmail.com, and I'd love to hear your comments, and you let me know what you think of what Mikey and I have talked about today, and you can post your comments on the site, and if you have any emails you'd like to direct to Mikey, email them to me, and I will forward them to him. And again, I appreciate your time and your support, and why don't you say goodbye to everybody, Mikey?
Goodbye. Thanks again for letting me be on the show, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, great.
All right, thanks.
Okay.